This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Jake Rader. Dr. Rader is the co-founder, the CEO of Saldara Medical, doing brilliant things. He's led this company with another co-founder, founded another venture out of Dartmouth as well. Dr. Rader, can I ask you to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background on the company?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Scott, and very happy to be with you today. So my own background is as a scientist. From a very young age, I wanted to be a chemist, and then as I got a little bit older and started to understand how science worked, I realized that I don't have the right personality and patience for science. Good scientists should come up with good ideas and then spend somewhere between 5 and 50 years trying to disprove those ideas. And so I never had the patience for that. And while I was finishing my PhD, I started working at a venture capital firm, and that got me over into the business side of things and gave me the perspective of an investor. We looked across a lot of different technology areas. Then from there, I went to a corporate and got the perspective of the larger partner working with both universities as well as small companies. And I came up to Dartmouth Medical School in 2008 to start a new ventures office. And within 2 weeks of starting that office, it was clear that in order to accomplish the mission of getting that academic innovation out into the world where it could help patients, what we actually needed was a separate company as opposed to having an academic office. And so that's where Saldara Medical came from. The mission of the organization has not changed, and in fact, the strategy has not changed in the 12 years that we've been running the company. And the whole purpose behind the organization is really to identify the very best inventions inside of primarily academia, those that have the biggest chance to have a positive impact on human health. And then we work very closely with the inventors in order to develop those into actual medicines. And so it's going from that eureka moment inside the academy through to clinical application. We work across modalities and we work across indications.
And tell us about, with the company, top three priorities currently.
Yeah. So I think everyone who is in the healthcare field is hyper-focused on the current pandemic. And the number one priority is to ensure that we as a nation come out of COVID-19 stronger or at least smarter than we went into it and really learn the lessons of preparedness. That's the absolute first priority because this is a horrible pandemic, but it's not the first one. It's not the last one. And there could be far worse. And so that's the top priority, is to make sure that we don't lose the lesson in all of this. Number two, as a business, we've actually generated quite a large and valuable portfolio of therapeutic innovation. We're always keen to find partners that are interested in developing their own pipelines and looking for asset licensing and acquisition. So that's a big push this year. And then I guess number three, looking even more introspectively, this pandemic has been uniquely disruptive, and so I'm naturally focused on the foundational aspects of the business and how my colleagues have been affected, how our culture has been affected, and what we can do to come out of this stronger and smarter. And so there have been a lot of silver linings, but it's been a challenge, I think, for anyone in business.
Talk a little bit more. You mentioned it earlier. You know, early on wanted to be a scientist, decided that you weren't perfectly suited for it, ended up really in the business of development, the business of drug discovery and genetics and more. Talk a little bit more about your career and leadership journey.
Sure. So I think one of the most powerful business concepts that I've benefited from has been the concept of perspective. If you have the perspective of the person across the table, you can understand them, you can empathize with them, you can persuade them, engage them, whatever you need to do. If you have that actual firsthand perspective, it makes you much, much better at your job. And if you don't, you're really just guessing. And so I've collected a number of perspectives throughout my career, from an operational view, from an academic view, from an investor's view, but nobody can have all the perspectives. And so in a team, however, if you get all those necessary perspectives together, you'll be far less likely to be surprised in the future. And so I think that's one of the biggest value drivers that diverse teams bring. My co-founder, Mike Fanger, had a stellar academic career building the immunology program here at Dartmouth, literally from nothing into a top 10 in the country, and also founding or co-founding MedRx, and then from MedRx came Celldex and Genmab. And so some unique entrepreneurial and academic perspectives of his own, in addition to his scientific and inventor credentials. And I think that's really allowed us to build a business model that worked. You know, most startups have to pivot two or three times before they finally find their groove. And with some hindsight, I can say that what we've been doing has been some continuous improvement, but there's really never been a fundamental pivot. The foundational concepts of the business have proven really strong.
And talk for a moment, Dr. Rader. Are you excited about the future, optimistic about the future, when it's been a tremendously disruptive year and a difficult year, yet there's silver linings? Give us a sense of your optimism or pessimism for the future.
Yeah, it has been disruptive, and anyone in a small company that doesn't like disruption should probably look for another job, right? I mean, obviously the downsides are truly unique and horrific, but as a industry, I think the world has been able to see what the biotech industry is able to do in vanishingly short period of time, to go from really nothing known about this virus through to phase three trials that are frankly looking pretty good in a very short period of time. And so that, I think, has given the public at large a new insight into what value and power this industry has. For myself, I'm particularly excited about the renewed focus on infectious disease. That can actually sound a little strange, but I'll explain. About 5 years ago, in my organization, we were looking at all the different opportunities in front of us. And we said, well, there are some real threats in infectious disease. And to be fair, we didn't say, hey, there's going to be a pandemic in 2019. We did know that there would be future pandemics, but we were really focused on antimicrobial resistance. And we probably spent 3 months in debate about whether or not we should enter into this area, because there really is no commercial market. And ultimately, we decided that the medical need was so great, so acute, and many others were leaving infectious disease. And so we decided to start working in the space. And now we're seeing why that's important. NIH funds $6 billion a year in infectious disease research, mostly in the university system. The people receiving this money are the best and brightest minds in infectious disease, and they're super productive. So, you know, there's two patents granted every single day from that NIH funding, but that's pretty much where it stops. You know, the funding's there, the people are inventing useful things, and the issue has always been that next step, the translational research. Who's going to take this and move it forward into the clinic, especially when there's not a market at the end of it, or at least not an attractive market? So if you imagine that you had a cure for COVID-19 in 2018, how much revenue would you have generated, right? $0. You'd have spent hundreds of millions developing something without the potential to sell a single unit. And so the commercial market for infectious disease is always fraught, but there's no market at all for sporadic diseases or these outbreaks. And so what to do? There's an opportunity, I think, here in this disruption to create a new system, something that would allow us as a nation to with very clear eyes look at what the things are that are threatening us in the future, and to develop mitigations to secure us against them. And so, you know, similar to a military analogy, you don't start designing your fighter jets after you declare war, right? But this is how we've been forced to engage with this pandemic. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to bring this new perspective to our colleagues in the industry. So far, I've talked to hundreds of them from many stakeholder groups, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for the concept.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, it sure is an exciting time. And your point on the willingness of the public to accept these advances, and people are so much more ready than they were some time ago, you do have this interesting, fascinating thing in this discussion of the vaccine, where the vaccine and the timing of it seems to have become highly politicized. Do you want to weigh in on that at all? And sort of, and you're not partisan one way or the other, but it seems to become highly politicized, where on one hand you've got a president that really wants to push this along. You've got, on the other hand, people that are quite skeptical of the ability to push it along. Any sense of this whole thing?
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately these days it seems everything becomes politicized, but what I've seen from the industry side is a renewed commitment, and that commitment has always been there, to let science lead, right? And yeah, we've done things in our industry that have never been done before, but what we haven't done is change the mathematics or the statistics or the ethics of clinical trials. And there has been a lot of innovation in how those trials have been run and how quickly they've been able to be run. But at the end of the day, there will be a data safety monitoring board who will look at the data and they'll make a decision, yes or no. And that decision will have all sorts of implications, and I would argue that primarily they'll have human health implications, they'll have economic implications, and then somewhere way down the line they'll also have political implications. But I don't for a minute believe that the people who are advancing these vaccines have anything but human health on their mind. This is where they're focused, and it's really been inspirational to see the work that has been able to be accomplished.
Well, fantastic. Dr. Rader, just a pleasure visiting with you today. Where can people learn more about the company?
So SeldaraMedical.com is the website. The organization that I've been describing here is the Pandemic Security Initiative. That's pansec.org. And what we are putting forth is that while it is amazing to see in the period of a year a vaccine go from zero to almost ready, it's much easier to do it in preparation, right? And so let's get together, decide what the biggest threats are, and then proactively get ready with therapeutics and tests and vaccines so that when the next one comes, we're not caught on our heels. So lots more about that on pansec.org.
Thank you very much, and a great pleasure to visit with you. Fascinating what you've accomplished and what you're accomplishing. We appreciate you spending time with Becker's Healthcare Podcast very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.